Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wiehunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wiehunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wiehunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome to epic episode 129 of the infamous and the rogue Von Wiehunt Show. As I say each week on the radio, we are a world at war. And tonight's theme is carnage of the midterms, epic episode 129, with a star date of November 17th, 2022. A.D. The Barbarian is here tonight in the studio as I broadcast from the mountains of Arizona. As I tell you each week, we will speak truth to power. We will find the truth. We will go wherever it leads us. Rest assured. Good evening, America. It's a dark and stormy night. Early winter night for most of the country. Buffalo, New York. We have listeners in New York. You're going to get 4 feet of snow coming your way. Be prepared. Also in the hinterlands, much snowfall is predicted. Nordic style, Thor will rain down. Lightning, snow, blizzards, you name it. All over Wisconsin, upper Midwest, the Dakotas, Minnesota. The snowstorm, they say, will be early, large, and massive, all at the same time. We know many of you are listening tonight on various tablets, maybe your PC, maybe your phone. I'll tell you this, get the best transmission that you can. Make sure your equipment is up to date to get this very powerful signal. So a lot going on in the world tonight. As I said in the theme, it is the carnage of the midterms. And the political elites right now are trying to get us into World War III, it seems, with Russia. It's a war that no real American even wants. But it's all part of their overall power play and agenda, right? Well, George Washington, father of our country, said this about democracy. When we look back this last week on the carnage of the midterms and chaos, it's a direct quote. Washington said, "It's a form of government where oligarchs pretend to listen to the peasants every 2 years." Love that. From George Washington. I'll say it again. It's a form of government, democracy, where oligarchs in our country pretend to listen to the peasants every 2 years. He couldn't be more spot on in 2022. Well, we all know that the political elites, they start the wars, and then they want the young to fight their manufactured wars. Now, we know about Trump's announcement for the presidency, his third go at it, and we will talk about that and get into it, into the nitty-gritty details tonight, I assure you. So many of you I know want to talk about that, and I do too. So we'll be on the battlefield talking about Trump's chances. Many of you will not like my predictions tonight of politics in America, but I will put them out there as I have thought about this, my mental algorithm, and I'll put it out there for all to see and hear. It's going to get bad with the stolen midterms in 2 more years of these Democrat demons in power. We're so glad you're all here tonight. New callers get first in line after the monologue. The show will go for 2 hours and live stream, and then we will go into our infamous overtime as usual for probably 30 minutes. You have reached the Von Wien Show. The power, the glory, the fatherland. Like the Battle of Berlin, we will not relent. Oh, I had a fan of the show, wrote in, David from Virginia, writes, Vaughn, keep it up. Crazy midterms, huh? Well, I think he says lack of food will send people into the streets for sure. There will be a tipping point at some point. They're going to keep effing with us. Until there is, I think. I would suggest to your listeners to prepare for the collapse of society. These food shortages may finally push people over the edge, man. Honestly, Vaughn, I'm anticipating a 1992 Balkan War scenario on United States soil. The cabal is going to set fire to this continent and render it ungovernable for many years and generations. God help us all. David from Virginia. Well, David, I think you're correct in your assessment, but let's We always hope the cooler heads prevail. But we all know there's a lot of things that are brewing out there. I've always told you that I'm just talking to you people from the top of my mind tonight. From the hip, as they say. That when the mongrel criminals, when the criminal class, the thugs, however you want to call it, whenever they get 51% control or critical mass in the country, they will unleash upon you a torrent of violence and attacks. We're seeing little symptoms of it now, but this is nothing to how bad it could get in America. We don't want it to get like that. But it's inching ever forward. I've told you before that what's crushing the Republican Party, what will crush us, is demographics. Rampant immigration out of control. And from there, if our enemies get 51% critical mass and keep growing, America's sunk. And talking about war and peace, it's a cautionary tale. Never forget that Vietnam started out with a small group of advisors, special forces. And more than 10 years later, ended up with 58,000 dead American advisors and soldiers. It had very little to do with defending our country or freedom. But here we go again all over the world. The exceptional class, the elites, offering up the youth of the expendable class for their blood profit and for their blood ritual sacrifice. More brother wars is what they want. They want us to kill each other. But we know a better way, a better path. Out in many Democrat cities, they've defunded the police. And this is what you get, America. More crime, more chaos, more anarchy in your neighborhood, which is all part of the Democrat agenda and plan. But I say, stay heavily armed, America. This ain't over yet. The man wrote the show. Mark from the Midwest, he said. He says, Vaughn, I work with a lot of Bosnian refugees driving city buses and doing other work. They're good people, good folk. They told me that there was no law there back in Bosnia during the war. It was survival of the fittest. You had an AK-47 to protect your loved ones. Vietnam was the same outside all major cities when I was in that war. So there was no police, no courts, no jails. Whoever had the gun made the law. Very true. Well, thank you, Mark, for the Midwest. And if you invested in FTX crypto, the Democrat National Committee and all the state Democrat Party chairmen say thank you. And they salute you because FTX crypto, which is now down in flames and bankrupt, gave millions of dollars to Democrat causes, candidates, and to the DNC National Committee. All allegedly, of course, until this works out through the BK court. But we all know it's true. Sam Bankman-Fried used the money in his crypto account to bankroll many Democrats and Democrat political causes. He ran off with the money. He made off with millions. Get it? Remember Bernie Madoff? Another one. Another banker, another CEO, absconding with your money. Well, Donald Trump did announce his candidacy for president in 2024, Tuesday night. We will get into all of that, assure you. Just note that the TV networks, they did limit Trump's time And it was interesting to watch, but let me tell you what happened here in Phoenix. Right when Trump's speech was about to go on, we had a power outage in the North Valley and all over the Phoenix Scottsdale area. I also heard many other cities had power outages during Trump's speech. Is that collusion? Is that conspiracy? I watched snippets of his speech. We'll talk more about that. But I found that to be very interesting. And even though Trump has a speech late at night on the East Coast, he wanted to reach people out west. They were getting off work around 6 when he had his speech at 9 East Coast time. It's amazing how the power went out when many people wanted to watch it. TVs weren't working. No power. I looked up power outages on Tuesday night, and there were many in the country. Again, this anecdotal circumstantial evidence, very interesting. You just can't make this stuff up. Yes. Well, in the Ukraine war, there were scattered reports that Russia used a type of bunker buster against the Ukraine General Staff military. And it's unconfirmed, unvetted, not vetted in any way, but there are weird reports coming out that the headquarters in Kiev, that all the Ukrainian General Staff may be and may be dead. Again, this is not confirmed, but there are still persistent reports coming out saying this. Very strange. Well, this past week, Evelyn D. Rothschild, the London head of banking dynasty, died at age 91. I guess the adrenochrome didn't keep him alive. The Rothschild who helped unite the British and French arms of his family's famous banking group, and even counted Queen Elizabeth as a client, died last week. It's amazing. The Rothschild family is the puppet master of all the brother wars of Europe. from eternity to now. Well, get this, America. Remember AOC? She's still in Congress. AOC was $8,000 in debt in 2019. She got elected to Congress with a salary of $174,000 per year. Guess what her net worth is now? AOC's net worth is now estimated to be $29 million. Welcome to politics on Capitol Hill in the United States of corruption. God. And white European people in America, the only race you can legally discriminate against without having federal hate crime charges levied against you. You know it's true, America? It's okay to discriminate against white people. Even Elon Musk had to stop a purge of white Twitter executives by people on the board that thought it would be a good move to fire a bunch of white middle managers. Unbelievable. There's been a lot of talk this past week. Kanye West, all over the news. Nothing new that we haven't talked about before. But again, you know, we're a variety show. And nothing's off the table. Everything is fair game. Well, I will put it to you this way, Mr. and Mrs. America. People say that the Jewish people control corporations, the banks, and even, God forbid, the media. Well, the Jewish community was offended. Then they denied all these allegations and accusations outright before banning Kanye West from all corporations, the banks, and the media. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Oh, my God. Pun intended. Man, you just can't make this stuff. It's getting silly out there. Getting bizarre. Bizarro world. The nation was under siege by Joe Biden in the midterm elections. We saw crazy chaos. And if you think that was bad, you ain't seen nothing till 2024. Presidential election. 2 years. It's right around the corner. Well, we will talk about all this stuff and more tonight. We will talk about the players, Trump, his pronouncement, the election fraud, the talkers and the stalkers, the political consultants, the damn Maricopa County tabulation machines. We will discuss the candidates for office, the guilty TV media. It goes on and on and on. Well, I say this, Western man, which way do you want to go? Western man towers over the rest of the world and weighs so large as to be almost inexpressible. Look at Western society prior to COVID, prior to a lot of this crap, but the advent going back hundreds of years, Western Europe. We had Western exploration, science, the courts, and conquest that revealed the world to us. And it's resented by all those people who were what I call conquered peoples. They were conquered, and they resent it in 2022. They wish their history was different, but it's not. Today in our politics, big elephant in the room that everyone's afraid to talk about. See all these Republicans talk about, I love hearing their explanations of the midterm chaos. One of my favorite rites of passage. After a long day of work in the studio, elsewhere, sit back and catch some of the headlines, see all the talking heads on TV, the blabbermouth group, get up there and just blab, blab, blab. Talk, talk, talk. And they'll say things like, well, the reason why we didn't win in this or that election is because we had subpar candidates. Or the reason why we didn't win is because the Democrats outspent us. Or it was McConnell. Or it was Trump. Or it was the media. They're all maybe partially to blame. But the big elephant in the room is everyone's afraid to talk about demographics. All these talking heads, not one of them, not one. And I saw about 30 or 40 over the past week. Not one of them talked and or ever mentioned demographics, immigration. They never mentioned it. I'll tell you what the deal is. Other minority races in America, they feel like subjects of Western power and Western man. Long after colonialism, imperialism, and all this stuff about slavery disappeared over 100 years ago. But there is hostility towards the European whites. There is hostility. We even saw today where Senator Schumer was lauding how great it was to have more and more immigration coming to America. This is their plan, he said. Words to that effect, to paraphrase. This is the agenda. And he surrounded himself with a group of immigrants who clapped and cheered, like seals clapping for their leader at a circus. This is what they want. I'll make some bold predictions tonight. We will not win in 2024 based on the demographic makeup of America. I don't care how much money we gather, I don't care how conservative the message is, the bottom line is that the vast majority of immigrants that come to America are from socialist, Democrat-leaning states. They do not even know what Trumpism is. They heard it's bad. They heard it's evil. They do not know what Republicanism is. They do not know who even Reagan was, possibly. To them, we're not a shining city on a hill. To them, we're the Babylonian whore. America is to be plundered. And if America refuses to be plundered, then they will attack you. So the white European suburbs, for the most part, of America, not all. There's Hispanics there and some blacks too, Asians too, all over the place, but predominantly in America. Talking about the vast majority. Most of the suburbs, if you get out of the urban areas, the country, mainly with whites. Again, they are still the majority. And they tend to vote conservative. Most immigrants, it takes them two or three generations to vote Republican. They'll even tell you that the grandfather comes in, Democrat. His son, Democrat. Their kid, maybe a Republican. Not to say the Republicans are so great, but it's just stands to reason. So we have two more years from now until the presidential election where millions more people will be pushed into America. Biden will ramp up flights of Somalians and Ethiopians at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, going to airports all over America, shoving Africans into your backyard. This has been an ongoing plan. We bring it up a lot on my show. I have contacts at Sky Harbor Airport who still tell me that plane loads people from Africa with the itinerary the flight list from Somalia, Ethiopia, and so on, Ghana, wherever, are still flying in. Federal secret flights being sent all over the country. Obama started this. That's why Minnesota Today has got a huge Somalian population. On my show, Africa for Africans, Asia for Asians, Mexico for Mexico, for all the Mexicans. I love nationalist countries. I love variety out there in the world. America cannot take in the entire third world. But these people that come over, you really think they're going to vote Republican? Really? Really? If you're a Republican strategist today, listening in to a, what you probably deem as a fringe, rogue radio show, get an effing clue. We're not going to win in 2024, especially right now under Trump. And I'll tell you why. I wish Trump well. I hope he wins. I voted for the guy twice, but here's the problem. Trump in 2016 barely won the presidency. Barely won back then. Now Trump's got so much baggage. And what the media call an attempted coup under his belt. He's aged. I saw his speech, like I told you. It wasn't the most high-energy speech I've ever seen him give. And he had a mountain to climb before. He's got a mountain range to climb to cinch the presidency in 2024 with all the baggage, his track record. And on top of that, though I wish Trump very well, being his family, his own daughter, Ivanka Trump, already said she's going to sit this one out. How does that look? Your own daughter will not go on the campaign trail with daddy. Not good. I know Ivanka's probably tired of politics. I get it. But my thing is it should be a family affair. It's not. He's got a lot of strikes against him. And also the deep state is out there. Biden said, and the deep state said emphatically, just last week, that there is no way that Trump will ever be in the Oval Office again. No way. Now, I'm telling you what's going to happen before it happens. Trump may win the nomination. They're going to prevent Trump from ever going back in the White House. They're going to have some kind of a sedition case against him. They're going to take him off the ballot. They're going to take him off somehow, or at least in key states that they control, to F up his presidential aspirations, to be blunt. They're not going to allow him. When they say things like that, listen, they're telling you there's no way in hell. Remember when the Democrats said there is no way Trump is going to win a second term? And everybody didn't believe them. I did. They've got the deep state. They've got the FBI corruption. They've got the CIA. They've got the media. They have bureaucrats in key positions, key courts, key states. They can do a lot of damage, is what I'm saying. I want Trump to run. I want him to try. I think it's good for him. It's going to keep the feds off his tail a little bit, and let's see what happens. I am very cautiously optimistic, but I do not believe right now that Trump will win the presidency. Hate to say it, but the country's going blue, 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 blue. Yes, there is a sea of red if you look at a map, but I always caution people, the immigration. The demographics are going to crush us. And I told you this back in 2015. when I launched the radio show. We don't get a grip on that border, get a grip on demographics, we're sunk. That's why I've told you year after year, self-balkanize. Get around your own people now. Get in position now. Because what I see is an ever-shrinking group of people. We're going to be marginalized. They've already called everyone in the country, half the country, deplorables, terrorists. And you think that's going to stop? No, they're going to ramp it up. I know one thing about Democrats. I've watched them for years. They never let up. They're so stupid. They will tempt war with half the country to prove one of their stupid points of view. They are that idiotic. But that is who we're dealing with. People who love violence. They love it. Didn't we see the riots in 2020? All the leftist violence? Sure we did. And it will happen again. Will happen again. I'm not saying that Trump shouldn't win, that Trump shouldn't run for office. But I give him, well, let's put it this way, America. If I was a mafia, Vegas bookie, a mafioso up there on the Vegas Strip, and if I was the odds maker, I would give Trump right now a 5% chance of winning. Seriously, 5% chance. I just, he's got a lot of baggage to overcome. The vaccine hurt him. Always talking about low black unemployment, kind of polarized his base, even though we want everyone to be employed in America. The wall was never completed, and that was a Trump campaign promise for many years. We can all blame the Democrats. We can all blame the distractions. We can all blame various things. A lot of people did not like Operation Warp Speed, experimental vaccine that Trump to this day still pushes. It is not popular on Main Street. If you're listening from the Trump campaign, shut the hell up about Operation Warp Speed. Stop talking about you want the most legal immigration into America. We live out here. You don't. Our traffic is already packed. We have enough illegal drivers right now driving around with no insurance from 20 or 30 foreign countries. We don't need more of the same. That's the problem. These Republican talking heads in their nicely pressed suits, little red ties, little American flags, don't live in the real world. They're on TV every freaking day. They don't live in the real world. They never had a real job in their life. All they do is pontificate about politics in America. They do not get it on Main Street. They're still thinking from a 1980s template. Wake up. Wake up. It's 2022. And the country is falling apart. More of the same is not what we need. We need a departure from the status quo. We need to go in a better direction for a better America. Or all the dire doom and gloom, fear porn predictions may come true. Civil war, civil unrest, things that we don't want. The Von Williams shows I told you before were that lighthouse on the rocky coast of America, bringing in the ships from wayward seas, dangerous, intrepid seas. We'll bring you in safely to a safe harbor so you can dry off, America. You can catch a cup of coffee, catch your breath. We'll regroup, replan, rebuild this nation. That's how I see the Von Wien show. We're a beacon of light on the rocky coast of America. And Nancy Pelosi has ended her reign as House Speaker. Thank God the witch is gone. The witch will be gone. Her 22 years of reign. Can't wait for her to leave. I'll make another bold prediction. Kevin McCarthy will most likely become the speaker. But I think his tenure will be 2 years. I think if we're not careful, there will be a blue wave in 2024. He will be the shortest tenured speaker in American history if we don't make some serious changes to this country. The Democrats will have a new speaker in 2024 when Biden wins re-election. I'm telling you that now, not to scare you, America. People say, but Vaughn, how could that happen, man? People will vote against the high gas, right? Well, to a certain extent, yes, but in not enough numbers. Democrat Party is a cult, and they will vote for whoever is in front of them. Well, tonight, you reach the Vaughn Wien Show. We take no prisoners. We tell it the way it is. We're very glad you're here, America.
XX1, Motor Guru, Kickstar my heart. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Kickstart my heart, America. You know what to do. You know what to do. You know the words. A great quote here to what this guy wrote, Joseph Sobran, kind of a philosopher. He writes, "The white man of the world presents an image of superiority even when he isn't conscious of it." And he writes, "Superiority excites envy among the minority classes. Destroying white civilization is the goal and is the innermost desire of the League of Designated Victims in America that we call, quote, minorities." Joseph Sobran, April 1997. Interesting quote. Well, while that's going on, in our race, culture, creed, watching America implode segment, meanwhile, the killings across the pond and of white farmers in South Africa is barely mentioned in the mainstream news story. They have a blackout of this violence against the white farmers there. Why? It's not the flavor of the day. Flavor of the day is black, brown, minorities. It's what Hollywood wants. It's what Washington, D.C. wants, what corporate America wants. But much like America in 1776, I say the dangerous men need to rise up in South Africa. Just know that South Africa is the political template for what the Democrat Marxists want to happen eventually in the USA. Not right away, not tomorrow, but that template where you're surrounded, they're nipping at your toes, grabbing the food on your territory and your domain, like an African lion. They're the hyenas, the jackals, coming after your neighborhood, America, coming after your street. They start by doing little petty thefts, seeing what's going to happen. Nobody slaps their hand, and they ramp it up. Oh, we'll do a home invasion. We'll do a farm invasion. Nothing happens again. Oh, we'll kill somebody for sport, for the fun of it. Not much happens to them. See how it ramps up? Incremental violence over time. It's what the left wants. They want to sit back and watch you suffer, America. And Bill Gates said, it's real simple. I just chip all of you, make society cashless, and put all the money on the chip. Then you will do exactly as you are told, or we will turn off the chip and you don't get to eat, America. That's what Bill Gates wants. Well, with that, let's get right to our phones. And the Gladiator in North Phoenix, Paul the Gladiator, how you doing, sir? How is your day or night going?
You know me, man. We talked about this. I am pulling all the troops in. I'm pulling all the troops in from the Roman Empire, putting them into the city. We're all going to be centurions. I'm moving. I'm packing stuff right now to move into Whiteland, Maricopa County, where they can't encroach, because if they encroach, not only do the police stop them, but also the sheriffs stop them. And not a lot of folks heard about this during the election, but even Penzone, the Maricopa County Sheriff, who's a Democrat, pulled into court during the election, and it wasn't over the election. It was over the fact that the Sheriff's Department in Maricopa County has not decreased since the Joe Arpaio days, has not decreased their stopping and pulling over of brown and black people in Maricopa County, from Mesa to Glendale to North Phoenix and Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrat sheriff was basically saying, well, all the broken windshields and the busted rear lights and the doors that are taped together with masking tape, not white people, so I got to pull somebody over for those infractions. And the judge is basically saying, so you're saying white people have nice cars and brown and black people don't. And basically Penzone was like, yep. And so they're racially profiling, even still with a Democrat sheriff. And I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take a clue from that. That and, you know, those Scottsdale police, as much as I didn't like them when I was going to the Scottsdale bars and nightclubs back in the day, now I kind of really like them. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go live in that building.
Right.
So I'm moving in, right, from North Phoenix, where I feel the encroachment here in central North Phoenix. And,
right.
You know, when I moved here, you know, 9, 10 years ago, I moved into this neighborhood, and I'm like, man, you know, we got a police station, we got another, like, law enforcement type center, both within a couple of miles. I'm like, this is a safe neighborhood, and it really was. But all of a sudden, the last 2 years, they built all these bus stops up and down 7th Street, 7th Avenue, and only people I see at the bus stop are the same people that the sheriffs are pulling over in their vehicles. And I'm like, where do they live? Because they got to live around here in order to be at that bus stop waiting for the bus. And I'm like, yeah, I got to get out. I got to go further north than this, and I got to get to where they racially profile because of what you said. They'll try to steal a car first. Then they'll, you know, steal the packages at the front door. Then they'll jump the fence and go into the backyard and grab something there. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, I'm not getting fucking stopped. Now I'm going to go through the fucking window, fuck the torpedoes. I'm going to fucking take the glass in the fucking face, but I'm stealing their fucking TVs. God forbid they left a gun there unmanned. You know, I'm going to wait to see when there's no cars there.
Oh, yeah.
For it. You know,
and like they do in South Africa, you know, they will kill people for sport. They think it's funny. And Hollywood
right.
in D.C. have said open season on white Americans, open season, kill, rape and pillage all you want. We're not going to really prosecute you. Why? We've defunded the police.
That's right.
See, it's all part of their plan. It's all part
right.
of the they want
they
anarchy. They want chaos.
And they're doing no cash bonds anymore.
That's
no
right. It's all part of it. Let you out to commit more crimes.
If it's a $50,000 bond, no cash, they can get the fucking bond guy to do it for $5,000. So their gang members put $5,000, get the guy out, and he goes back to Mexico.
That's right.
He's fine. He's good. You know, and honestly, you know, being here in Phoenix so close to I fear for the people in Tucson. Thank God we got a buffer right between Tucson and here. But it's still coming up. I see more Sonoran license plates like you were talking about. They have no American insurance. They're going to fucking crash into your car, fucking kill you, not fucking give a shit, destroy your fucking vehicle, and you're shit out of luck. Because if you go against your insurance, you'll never get insurance again because nobody will write a policy for you. You got to take it on the fucking chin, and Biden won't even fucking prosecute them. And here's a fricked up story, all right, for Arizona politics, and I'm sure it's similar all around the country, right? So it's
right.
funny. It's funny how they want us to believe the Republicans voted in out of the top five elections that the Arizonans they voted in. The county superintendent of schools in every county was like 54, 55, 56% Republican votes. And then
right.
all the city council chiefs, all the city council and town councils, all the top brass there was 53, 54, 55% Republican votes. But the same Republicans who voted for those seats, there's like 10% of those Republicans who crossed the flipping aisle on their ballots and said, I'm not going to vote for Blake Masters. I'm going to vote for Mark Kelly. I'm not going to vote for Kerry Lake. I'm going to vote for Katie Hobbs. And I'm not going to vote for Abe Hamadeh, a former military the hero, and I'm going to vote for a woman. I don't even know who she is. Nielsen, I don't even know who she is.
I know.
10% of the
is that amazing?
Just on those three people and those three positions, the three biggest positions, senator, governor, attorney general, somehow 10% of us, me and you, 10% of us who hate the Biden administration, who hate Republican, Democrats being in charge of our red state, hate it, we crossed the aisle and voted for those three specific people while we voted for everybody else on the Republican ticket. Really?
Yeah.
That happened? I mean,
it's what they say.
You know, I'm going to doubt it. And beyond that, I'm going to refute it. And I'm going to say, do us a favor and show us those ballots. Show us those freaking Republicans who voted for all that red, right, up and down. But on those three, we somehow, they went underneath the rope and they went and stood with these, you know, purple hair, you know, sprayed purple hair and tutus and, you know, like, and geeks. And they said, nah, those three positions, we got to vote Democrat over there. That's the only way we're going to save, fuck, you know, Arizona. Like, come on, man. I mean, they think, and maybe with everybody's low IQ in America because they're inbreeding, maybe they do believe it. I don't know. You know,
so true. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
We're getting like dumber and dumber like the movie.
Yeah. So, you know, you and I have talked. My parents weren't the best parents, right? They were absentee parents, right? I get it. But they did give me great physical attributes and, thank God, a really good brain, right? I mean, my mother in the 50s graduated high school at 16, you know, went off to be a Rockette. My old man was, you know, triple-A baseball player, college athlete, scholarship baseball player, almost made it into Fenway as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but they were both super smart as well. And I'm like, you know, if for as bad as parents they were, you know, and I was always on my own since age 11 anyways, thank God I had the brains and the physical, you know, ability to go create my own life. So, you know, I thank them for that, forgive them for the other, and I move on, right? But you can't tell people like you and me that 10% of you and me crossed the freaking aisle on three positions, the most powerful positions, date. It's utter madness of disbelief, how much control
it is.
They have that accomplished. It's sick.
Just running those basic numbers that even you know, an eighth grader could understand maybe in America. I mean, yeah. You know what 10% means. I mean, it's that bad. I mean, this election's complete disaster. And any Republican goes, oh, it's wonderful. It's just great. They're just smoking dope. They don't know what they're talking about. The disaster. You guys said you were going to sweep the House, sweep the Senate, red wave, red tsunami, they said. And I said, no. I said, I would love that to happen, but I'm smarter than them. And I go, it's not going to happen. And I was right. We were right on this show yet again.
Well,
the tip of the spear. There was no red wave.
But they should have. We probably could have had a red wave if they had operatives inside the election houses that are being run on these elections, all these buildings. If they had operatives, they could have said yes. Because I'm going to tell you, when I went to the church to vote in my district, I saw Make America Great Again, Trump. I saw really good-looking women. I mean, not ugly, pink, freaking hair, purple hair. I saw Republicans. I saw everybody, like, elbowing each other. Like, the person with the Make America Great hat is elbowing the other person when they're in their booth voting as well. And I'm like, this is going to be a great day. I saw bumper stickers and signs and flags and Trump flags in the parking lot. Like, nobody was afraid to show who we're voting for. It was
right.
Red people in this North Phoenix district. And I was just like, man, it's going to be a freaking great day. Oh, my God. Everybody's fucking showing up, pardon my French. Parking lot was jammed. Jammed. Went in line. We're all like, yeah, hey, what's up? Yeah. Everybody's like pumped up. Democrats are not fucking pumped up. They're never pumped up to vote. They're like standing there like somber a little bit. I didn't see any of those people. None. Zero. Zero of them. And I talked to everybody I know. I'm like, who'd you vote for attorney general? They're like, oh, that guy Abe. They're like, but you know, I just do the whole right side. I do all Republican. I'm like, yeah, me too. Who voted for the other people?
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to hundreds of people. Hundreds.
I know. I'm telling you, I believe that there was fraud in the election. Don't get me wrong. There definitely was a lot of shenanigans again. Because we never fixed 2020. But those Democrats are out there. And they're stealthy, and they're in other districts, and they come out. And, yeah, they definitely doctor the vote. But there's still a stable of Democrats that come out. And I see them on social media a lot, and they're on Twitter, my God. Twitter's like 80% Democrat blue. They're little blue check marks, even. Terrible. But, yeah, Paul, I know everyone I spoke, I haven't met one person who voted for Katie Hobbs. I've also spoke to hundreds of people. Just did an informal interview. And I try to go beyond the aisle, get out of my, you know, get out of the echo chamber, right? And
right.
I went online and asked people. No, I voted for Kerry Lake. I voted for Lake. Now, I want you to comment on this, but hear me out. Kerry Lake, Paul, as you know, and I tell people before, before she ran, they go, well, it's fake Lake, blah, blah, blah. No, Kerry Lake was really the best candidate. I'll tell you what. Because three things were in her plank for governor. One, she was not going to raise her state income tax. Katie Hobbs will. If you're in Arizona, Katie Hobbs will raise your state income tax. She will take $100 or whatever from you each month to go in the state coffers. You're screwed there. Two, Kerry Lake would declare an invasion and finish the wall herself for Arizona. Katie Hobbs, if you voted for her, will take down all those railroad cars on the Arizona-Mexican border, totally destroy them, and leave it wide open for immigrants.
Yep.
Thirdly, the biggest point of all is that Kerry Lake was going to get rid of all of our hobos, homeless, malcontents, Democrat campers from L.A. and everywhere else that have come to Phoenix. They're on every damn street corner in our town and all across the nation. But she was going to make it illegal that they cannot camp out in the public square or the sidewalk. Katie Hobbs will do the exact opposite. What are your thoughts, Paul?
Yeah absolutely. Kerry Lake, you know, she also had another thing going for her. 22 years on Fox News locally here in Maricopa County. You can't tell me that 49.7% of people voted for her. There would be Democrats that would cross the aisle and vote for her before a Republican would cross the aisle and vote for Katie Hobbs, but that's what they're trying to make us believe. Because even
right.
even the fiscally smart Democrats, right, the immigration smart Democrats who are more moderate to the center would have crossed the aisle. No
mm-hmm.
Republican's going to cross the aisle for Katie Hobbs. First of all, most of us didn't even know who she was until we heard she was Secretary of State. And then I said, she can't be involved in the elections. Oh, no. What do you mean? She's running the elections? How? You can't. Who's letting you do that?
Right.
Wait a
Katie
minute,
Hobbs
no.
runs her own election. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and where is Doug Ducey? He's our current governor. Why didn't he step in and say, Katie, you have to step
you.
In. My orders.
Where's our current government? They're doing nothing about that.
He did nothing about that. Zero. He's the only one that could say anything. You were.
He let it happen.
He let it happen.
Yep.
That
another little cuck. Another beta cuck. Republican guy. Another one.
Yep.
Did nothing about it. Yep.
Nothing. He should have said, look.
And this is what I'm talking about. The conservatives can serve nothing. They let all this stuff go right past
him. Yep.
Another example of it. He had the power. He's the governor. They cuck out at the critical moment in time.
Yeah.
He did.
Yep.
He was AWOL, Paul. Absent without leave. Military lingo.
I haven't heard from him in months.
I haven't heard from Ducey in months. He should have been in front of the microphone saying, this is a travesty. I've appointed a special person to oversee the election. It's a conflict of interest to have Katie Hobbs run her own election. Total conflict of interest.
Total conflict of interest. Yeah, no doubt. It's not even a question. It's not even a coin flip. It's 100% conflict of interest. Unbelievable.
This is basic stuff, folks. Basic civics. And again, we see our Republican Party do nothing, cuck out. They're quiet. They're not vocal enough. Yet the Democrats run roughshod over the whole damn thing. God. Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, that's one of the reasons, like that you mentioned, our state taxes are going to jump like unbelievably high. That's why I'm going to a ranch. I'm pulling everything in, going to my ranch. Good luck finding me. If you don't know me and you show up, you're going to get shot. Like, don't even enter into the ranch property. You're done.
Shoot their ass.
Yeah.
They break
if you
in.
If you show up and I don't know you, then you're there for a nefarious reason. You probably want to hurt the horses or me, and that's not going to happen. You're going to get shot. You're going down. No one will ever see you again. Stay off my property. Stay away from me. And if you come here to collect taxes, I'll shoot you twice. That's
there
it.
You go.
I'm done.
Paul, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, man.
Have
everybody
a great night.
Have a good night. All right, bye.
Great call. Yeah, great going, Arizona. Great going. Voting for Katie Hobbs. We know there's a lot of Democrats that have moved here. Well, your taxes are around 1.8% on average, and they're probably going to go to California rate of 9 to 12%. So great going. That could be hundreds of dollars a year that'll be sucked out of your paycheck. You'll have more homeless people outside your home and neighborhood lingering, waiting for the moment when you go on vacation so they can break in. Or they may be so bold as to break in when you're there, bring out their zip ties, torture you, tie you up, beat your family, rob you blind. Because Katie Hobbs will also make a move against your guns in Arizona. And she's already inferred that by her handlers. She's going to get rid of all the gun shows, I heard, in Arizona. So this year, the gun shows, if you're out there in Radio Land, all over the nation, stock up and stock up big, because you may need it. I'm telling you. Get ready, America. Stop fooling around. Wake up.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, and she had to walk into the one I was occupying. I was sitting there listening to Vaughn on the radio, you know, the Vaughn Wehun show. Well, she came in and sat down, and I told the bartender, let's give her a drink, run a tab on my fare. She sat down, looked right at me. She was gorgeous. I took a drag off my lucky strike and blew it the other way. I sure as hell wasn't going to blow it in her face. She was amazing. I said, you mind, honey? I'm right in the middle of a show here listening to it. She said, no problem. She joined in. We listened to Vaughn Wehun's show together. It was quite a time.
You saw the ads, and you saw what was out there on the Vaughn Wehun show. You have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Go ahead. Call up. Make his day. It's the Von Wehunt Show.
Dial in at 563-999-3437 right now.
Yeah, you know what I like about Von? He's like a trainer, you know? He's not going to get out there and, like, tell you a bunch of lies or try to make you puffed up or anything. He's going to tell you the truth. He's going to tell you what you need to know and nothing more, nothing less, you know? And that's what I had with Mickey. When Mickey would be out there training me, he'd be telling me what I needed to hear. He wasn't going to give me something I didn't need to hear. He wasn't going to tell me something that wasn't true. He was going to hit me with the facts, you know? And that's what I really love about Mickey. I miss Mickey. But Von's like that, too, with his audience. He's not going to go out there and tell you something that's not happening, that's not right, that's not true. He's going to tell you the facts. He's going to give it to you as it is, straight up. That's what I love about the guy, you know? So tune into the Von Wehunt Show because, you know, that's where he's going to give it to you straight up. You know, it's just the way he is.
The Anvil of Crom. Fires you up, get you going. It's a war song. Well, we'll read some chats here from the chat room, some comments. Lincoln writes, I would have voted for other conservatives, but not Lake, simply because of our future as Hispanic comment. And, of course, she has a Hispanic cousin. Well, look, out of the Southwest, Hispanics are everywhere. And the thing is, I would say, look, people, you'll never get a perfect candidate. I get it. But we don't want our taxes to go up. And we want our gun shows. And we want at least a semblance of some order at the border. So great comment there by Lincoln. But Carrie Lake was head and shoulders above Katie Hobbs. That's why she became the nominee. And she almost won. Less than 1% difference. But that 1%, like Lincoln has said before, like I said before on the show, the big elephant in the room that no Republican talking head has talked about all week, demographics. They're afraid to bring up that word. Oh, how dare you bring it up? Are you a racist? As if the template the media uses is as if magically everyone that comes over here from Haiti, Mexico, the Middle East, Venezuela, already a communist country, will somehow magically transform into a 1776 patriot carrying their musket, and they're going to vote red, red, red the minute they come over the border. Why? Because America is so great, right? BS. It's all BS. I've said to you before, the Democrats are a cult. They will vote for Satan if he's on the ticket. I will bet you money that if they nominate even the stroke victim, Fetterman, and Kamala Harris as his VP, Fetterman would win over Trump. I bet you he would. As effed up as America is, they'll throw money and power. They'll make Fetterman look like a freaking genius as they edit the tape between his every word stumbled. But he will make no public appearances like Biden, very few. They'll edit his tape. They'll have the best commercials, and they'll air them 24/7. We'll have President Fetterman as your president. As funny as that sounds, it's about that bad. I make the absurd, and I call it out for what it is to show you our absurd situation. Not to conflate the two, but to bring them up. The Republicans have a strange view of immigration. I told you before, they have a fascination with the word legal. It's legal, so it must be great. No, not everything legal is great. In California, they're trying to make it legal to kill newborn babies 28 days after birth. It's a fact. It's in the House. I know. I've read it. Because it's legal does not make it great. That's nothing but infanticide and murder. Period. But let's hope it gets voted down. We're at a real crossroads in America. Demographics will crush us. I told everyone that if we don't get a handle on that border and immigration, there will be no more big, big, big Republican victories. Trump, don't forget, barely won 2016. After all that's happened, he has a track record now. And like I told you, the media says he has a coup under his belt. What makes you think he's going to win in 2024? Seriously. We wish him well. I want to see a spirited campaign. I'll even help him win if I can. But the numbers are against us. Those numbers don't lie. And two more years, just think, of millions and millions of people coming over here. And their Democrat handlers in Minnesota, Dallas, D.C., Chicago, L.A., Phoenix, Missouri, Arkansas, Florida, wherever. We'll show them where to sign up, where to register, or where to get their fake ballot, however way you want to color it. In other words, and they may vote four or five times. The media won't care because they'll just turn to you and say, you're a racist, America. You're a Nazi. And we should count every vote, period, even if they vote five times. Every vote should be counted, even if they're dead. You know it's true. They'll look at you like, well, don't you want every vote to be counted? Aren't you an American? What's wrong with you? Aren't you for, quote, democracy? See how it works? That's going to be their template. We don't need any legal or illegal immigration for a long time. Told you before, unless you're a rocket scientist, I don't want you. We've got enough busboys. We got enough homeless people on our streets that are unskilled laborers. We have enough druggies. We have enough landscapers in Phoenix. We got enough servers. No one I know is saying we can't find people. What it is a lot of the people that are already here don't want to work because they're on the government tit. They're getting money to not work. It is true that legal immigration in many ways is far worse than illegal. We have too much immigration. We cannot absorb the world. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's getting worse and worse. And this is a travesty. Let's try to get to another caller here and check in. Oh, you're live on the Von Wien Show. What's your name and where are you from? You're
Eddie
on
the
air.
From, Eddie the Destroyer
Eddie.
From Phoenix. Yeah.
Eddie the Destroyer. How you doing, man?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling,
fine.
Buddy.
I was listening.
Glad to hear from you.
You know, I'm really upset. I heard Schumer the other day say that he wants to legalize like 3 to 6 million, I think, illegal aliens that are here now. And the people on the television said it's more like 30 or 40 million, you know, and what they're going to do, I'm sure, is give them all digital IDs and some a clean record, and, you know, they'll be American citizens.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the
he said that.
I think
he definitely said that.
Yeah. And I think the Republicans are in on it because it's cheap labor. I was reading a story
That's
of
right.
a guy that he's going to truck driving school right now, and he said everybody in – he's the only white guy in the class. Everybody else is mostly from India, Pakistan, and everything. You know, he said hardly any of them can speak English. You know, and one of the CDL requirements is you have to be able to communicate with the law enforcement in case of an accident. You know, you have to be able to tell them what happened. And if you can't speak English, how are you going to do that? You're going to hope they got an
right.
interpreter of Pakistan here or something, you know. So that's
no, Andy, here's the scary part. They're going to be reading the road signs when they're behind your car and mine.
Yeah.
Trying to read the road signs, and they don't know English.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're going to cause
I mean,
a lot of accidents.
Yeah. I was in the Army in Germany, and I drove over there, and a lot of stuff I didn't have any clue, you know, what the signs
right.
are. They don't teach you, you know. They just give you a license in the truck
right.
and go over here, you know. But which is pretty much, I think, what they do here, too.
So
anyway,
true, man.
The other thing is I was – You know, I've been really – have you been talking about that FTX thing, the Bitcoin deal?
Oh, yeah. I brought it up.
I missed a couple of things. Yeah. Because I'm reading more and more that he was involved in funneling money from Ukraine that was given to them in Bitcoin donation back to the Democratic Party. You know, he contributed.
That's true.
He was the second largest contributor to the Democrats. He was $39 million or something. And that's only what we know about, you know. And they're saying, well, you know, we're going to donate it to charity. And I heard somebody on television today say, well, you know, that money belongs to people that invested in FTX. It's their money. You know, you don't decide you're going to give it to somebody else. You know, they want it back. You know, so the whole thing
mm-hmm.
is just terrible. And they hired the guy that fix the Enron problem. Yeah, I don't know if you remember you probably do. Enron.
Oh, yeah,
I
do. Yep.
They were going around the country, and they bought power plants everywhere. They bought power plants in California, San Francisco. They even bought the steam. San Francisco made their own steam for the downtown buildings, and they bought that operation. and all this stuff, and it was all on credit. You know, they didn't pay for anything. And then when it went under, I don't know what happened. You know, it took them years to figure it out. But he says the same guy that fixed that is now working on FTX, and he said it's the worst thing he's ever seen in his life. He said it's just he can't even follow it. There's no accounting. There wasn't any accounting department. You know, that kind of money, and you don't have an accounting department. I guess the guy was doing it on his phone or something. You know, unbelievable.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it really is strange. You know, the demographics, it's not real trendy with these Republican talking heads. And that's why I've said for a long time, we need a new party. The Republicrats have proven to me, again, it's the sin of omission. It's the sin of not acting. It's the sin of not being vocal. The sin of being lazy or incompetent or sinister. Whatever you want, like we were just talking with the gladiator there. Katie Hobbs is Secretary of State of Arizona. Their job is to monitor and police elections. Yes, she's running for governor. You would think somebody would step in and recuse herself or put somebody there to oversee the election by our Republican governor. Doug Ducey, who did no such thing.
Yeah.
Again, another example of you're letting the rooster run the hen house, in other words. What do you think is going to happen?
And then they ran
the wolf is in the hen house.
Adrian Fontes. Yeah, they ran Adrian Fontes for her job. So, and he's been the one messing up everything all along with her. So when he becomes Secretary of State and she's governor, we're screwed. And then it looks like they knocked Mark Fincham out, too. You know, I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous. You know,
it is, man. And I met Fincham at the North Valley Republican shindig. Kerry Lake was there. Met Blake Edwards, Fincham.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you went?
Met Anthony Kern, the senator. Oh, yeah. And I met Josh Hawley from Missouri, flew in. I was in the crowd, incognito,
like
talking to a few friends of mine.
Yeah.
I mean, my thing was, this is an election, a midterm that the Republicans, in my view, should never forget. They should go back to their playbook, figure out what went wrong, and really do some digging. Some soul searching here. But again, look on TV. Look at all the ones that the people that they select are not people like yours truly, Von Wehunt, who will tell you the truth. They will put people on. They will say, oh, don't worry, Eddie. Don't worry, Von. Don't worry, Paul. Don't worry, Lincoln or Kat in Canada. It's all going to be okay. We're going to get them. In 2024, go team, rah, rah, go team. Like a pep rally.
Right.
In a game that went south.
They don't even care. I don't think they care anymore, you know, because they're getting paid either way. You know, they're getting money under the table through all this Ukraine billions bullshit. And, you know, it doesn't matter. They get money. If, you know, look at, I heard today, what did, they said AOC is now worth $29 million or something. And she had nothing when she went in there. And how's she been there? 2 years?
That's right. I mentioned that in my monologue. She had $8,000 in credit card debt.
That's where I heard it. Yeah.
I did.
You know.
$8,000 in credit card debt. She was a bartender in the Bronx. And the Democrat. And I give her credit. She started. Somebody noticed her, and they were looking for a new face. And I think she approached them, and they approached her. And the rest is history. A star was born. Let's be honest. I mean, she is a
star that got
of the Democrats.
Found in the chocolate shop at Hollywood Boulevard or something. Yeah.
People get discovered. It still happens. They she's made it. She won. She won America's Powerball lottery, man. She's allegedly got $29 million.
Yeah.
All for being a part of Congress.
And she's just
unbelievable.
Fantastic stock picks that no one else could figure out. Come on. They got all
I know. I mean, it's on both parties.
Happen.
Don't get me wrong.
Exactly.
It's both.
Yeah, no.
It's both are doing it, and they think we don't notice. Well, we notice.
Yeah. There's,
I pay attention.
That's why they put up all this stuff, you know, this flack. So you're trying to hide it, you know. Oh, Epstein killed himself.
That's right.
Oh, okay, whatever, you know. We talk about that for
I kept telling you guys.
You know, then it's gone.
All those planes going to the Ukraine, Eddie. All the planes of congressmen going to the Ukraine, picking
exactly.
up suitcases full of cash.
Yeah.
Flying them back.
That's what they were doing. I'm sure.
Sure.
Pelosi.
Why do all the congressmen
have
a burning desire to meet Zelensky and shake his hand? Come on. Come on.
Exactly. In a war zone, allegedly. Well,
in a war zone.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you a little secret, Eddie. When the planes reach D.C., that's called a diplomatic pouch. They're not searched.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
I believe that, yeah. Yeah.
So the suitcase is full of cash. Get in. Get in the country. Duty free. I may add. Duty free cash. Yeah, right under the IRS's nose, and they know it. Right under everyone's nose. That's been going on for years.
You know, I worked in a big construction for a while, and, you know, the big construction companies, they're building buildings like those ones downtown, you know. I think they decide among themselves. There's only a certain number of people that can bid on those because you have to have the money to be able to build it. And I think, well, like Trump, example. And I think they decide, you know, well, okay, I'm going to take this job and you'll get the next one. You know, and I think that's how they're doing with the elections here. You know, well, we'll take this and you can have, you know, this one. And, you know, they just divvy it up. They don't really care about us. At all.
Right. They don't.
They're divvying
they don't.
The spoil.
God. Eddie, what are your final thoughts to America?
Oh,
tonight?
Okay. What was I going to say? Oh, you know, I heard this guy, he said, you can't vote your way out of tyranny. And I think that's very true, because if they could, the Soviets would have voted Stalin out of office. But there was no way that was going to happen.
Right. Very true. What's your advice to America tonight, Eddie?
Save your money. Pay your bills and save your money, because it's going to get nasty.
I agree. Eddie, thanks a lot, man. Have a great night.
Okay. Yeah, talk to you later. Bye.
You know it, man. Thanks, Eddie. Eddie the Destroyer from Phoenix, somewhere out there. Location will be undisclosed. Well, we'll get to the gunslinger next, but it's amazing what's going on out there. Just amazing. I mean, this is a crazy election. But I told you before, Josh Hawley came out last week and said, we have to build a new party. We need to build something better. It's the death of the Republican Party. And he's right. He gave a great speech, by the way, when he came up here to the North Valley. Fantastic speech. Best one I've seen in a while. I think Josh Hawley should run for president. That's who I would back on this show. We need some new blood. We need new ideas. We all know that the media is going to just fillet Trump, the 24-hour news cycle. He's got a lot of things they can pick on. He's not as young as he used to be. Love the guy in many ways. I do not agree with a lot of things he did. I agree with many things he did do. What I liked about him most was that he was not supposed to win, and he beat back Hillary. That's the best thing about Donald Trump, beating Hillary Clinton. Shaking up Washington, being a bull in a china shop. And I personally think that all the media melee about January the 6th, that's actually healthy in our republic. Because it shows how close they came. It shows how pissed off they made the American people. That anger is still simmering it out there. But it backfired on Trump in many ways, too. I always say Trump is his own worst enemy. I would have told Trump, do not send people down to the Capitol. I would have advised him as his presidential advisor to gracefully bow out, be the kingmaker for Mar-a-Lago, White House in Florida. Come back in 2024 with a vengeance and start early. That's what I would have advised him. That whole January 6th is going to be rehashed a million times. So get ready for that, America. We're so glad you're here on the show tonight.
Mr. President, I would not rule out the chance to preserve a nucleus of human specimens. It would be quite easy. At the bottom of some of our deeper mine shafts, radioactivity would never penetrate a mine some thousands of feet deep. And in a matter of weeks, sufficient improvements in dwelling space could easily be provided.
How long would you have to stay down there?
Well, let's see now. Cobalt thorium G. Radioactive half-life of possibly 100 years.
You mean people could actually stay down there for 100 years?
It would not be difficult, my Fuhrer. Nuclear reactors could... I'm sorry, Mr. President. Nuclear reactors could provide power almost indefinitely. Greenhouses could maintain plant life. Animals could be bred and slaughtered. Quick survey would have to be made of all the available mine sites in the country. But I would guess that dwelling space for several hundred thousand of our people could easily be provided.
Well, I would hate to have to decide who stays up and who goes down.
That would not be necessary, Mr. President. Could easily be accomplished with a computer. And the computer could be set and programmed to accept factors from youth, health, sexual fertility, intelligence, and a cross-section of necessary skills. Of course, it would be absolutely vital that our top government and military men be included to foster and impart the required principles of leadership and tradition. Actually, they would breed prodigiously, eh? There would be much time and little to do. What's the ratio of, say, 10 females to each male? I would guess that they could then work their way back to the present gross national product within, say, 20 years.
But look here, Doctor, wouldn't this nucleus survivors be so grief-stricken and anguished that they'd envy the dead and not want to go on living?
No, sir. Also, when they go down into the mine, everyone would still be alive. There would be no shocking memories. And the prevailing motion will be one of nostalgia for those left behind, combined with a spirit of bold curiosity for the adventure ahead.
Doctor, you mentioned the ratio of 10 women to each man. Wouldn't that necessitate the abandonment of the so-called monogamous sexual relationship? I mean, as far as men were concerned.
Regrettably, yes. But it is, you know, a sacrifice required for the future of the human race. I hasten to add that the women will have to be selected for their sexual characteristics, which will have to be of a highly stimulating nature.
I must confess, you have an astonishingly good idea there, Doctor.
Thank you, sir.
God, just love that from Dr. Strangelove. Yes, the women in our bunker will be picked for their highly stimulating and sexual attractiveness while we await the Satan II rockets from Russia or spear missiles from Ukrainian army being shot around Europe. While we await nuclear annihilation from the emboldened Chinese military. Unbelievable. Yeah, our bunker will be filled up with ladies that we must carry on the race. We must carry on the white European race. We must carry on America, you know? It's got to happen. Well, sorry for the gunslinger. I know he's out there from Texas. And we're going to get him on here in a moment. But be right back. Get your cocktail. Get your beer. You shall return. That's really John Adams theme. Pretty damn cool. Thought you would like that. The rocket Artemis went to the moon, but on the dark side of the moon is supposedly where the gray aliens live. And we'll get into some more. People have asked me for another UFO show. We'll probably do one here over the holidays. By the way, next Thursday night is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, America. And guess what? After your turkey and dressing, you'll have a big dessert, an even bigger dessert when the Von Wien Show comes on Thanksgiving night. How about those apples? We always have a live show on Thanksgiving. So next Thursday night, same bat time, same bat channel, we will have the show. So after you have your turkey and dressing and mimosas, don't get too drunk. Call off the show. If you're buzzed, that's fine. And we will talk about the state of the nation or the state of the scandal or the state of the carnage, media voting chaos. Well, it's time for the gunslinger.
All right, folks, calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? you ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
God. Gunslinger, you're live on the Von Wien Show. How are you doing, sir?
Well, it got kind of cold in Texas. In reference to President Trump with his announcement, you know, the Gunslinger endorses President Trump, okay? And here's why. Because you have to use reason, logic, and common sense with this type of situation. Let's go back to 2016. Between 2016 and 4 years, okay, the country was the greatest country on the face of this freaking planet. Military loved him. Law enforcement loved him. Joe Blow on the street corner loved him. Okay, gas prices were down. Okay, supply chain was running just perfect. It's like a well-oiled machine. And I know machines because I'm a retired master electrician. Okay. Everything was going good. Everything was going in a uphill situation, okay, toward the common good. He had old Pooty Putin over there basically under control. There was no war in Ukraine and all this shit. The little Rocket Boy over there in North Korea, he was under control. You know, Rocket Boy actually loved Trump. Well, I think they got along pretty damn good. Okay. So
right.
There was no wars or rumors of war, okay, during the 4 years of Trump. And, of course, yeah, gas, oil, everything was flowing good. I mean, everything was flowing like a
yes.
nice little pretty stream, you know, and coming down out of the mountains there. Until they cheated, you know who, the Democrats cheated. And within 24 hours, this country went from the top of the pyramid to the basement in 24 hours. Okay? So I don't care if you hate him, if you love him. I don't give a flying flip. The guy did what he was supposed to do and what the American people wanted. Okay. Can you imagine what it would be right now under Hitlery, comrade Hitlery? You got to be kidding me. Okay. I mean, Trump is perfect. Nobody's perfect. I mean, if you think you're perfect
right.
for anything, you're screwed in the head. Okay, you're actually screwed in the head if you think you're perfect for anything, because you're not. Okay, nobody's perfect for that. Anything for that matter. It doesn't matter if politics or anything else. Okay, but he did what he said 99%. Okay, of the time. Okay, yeah, there's some things I didn't like that he did. Okay, but you know, deal with it. It's life. Okay, life is a bitch, and then you marry one. Well, then you die. Okay, so you're going to have to deal with these things whether you like it or not. You know, I don't know what kind
right.
of scumbag they're going to pull out in 2024. Who knows? Okay, hell, it could be old
right.
Adolf down here in Texas. Okay, now, do you want a person or a thing, I call it a thing, like Adolf for the president of the United States of America over Trump?
Can you imagine?
Be kidding me, man. Can you imagine that? Or even if Hitler,
oh, he wants it. Beto wants it. He's going to run again. He's going to run.
He's
going to
run. He'll run. Yeah. And probably comrade Clinton there will probably raise her ugly head again. I'm sure.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because they're power hungry freaks. They're power hungry freaks.
That's right.
At least Trump is not a power hungry freak. He's doing it for the country. These other people are doing it for their pocketbook and politics. They don't care. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about Joe Blow on the street corner. That's why these Democrats want all these criminals to flood into the country and let's have a big old freaking party. Right? At least Trump was trying to keep these people out, which I think is good. They don't need to be in here. If you want to come into this country the legal way, fine, great. But slithering over that southern border down there at the Rio Grande River, okay, is not the way to do it. And what do they do? Drugs, dope, fucking prostitution.
Yep.
I mean, human trafficking, the low 9 yards, courtesy of the Democrats, of course, okay? But Trump was putting an end to that. He was stopping it with that wall out there. I think he was doing a damn good job.
He was making a dent. My only thing is he never finished the wall. But the greatest thing about Trump is not what he is. The greatest thing he did was beat Hillary. That was the greatest thing, was stealing the Oval Office. Not stealing, but, winning the Oval Office, seizing power, seizing the White House away from Hillary Rotten Clinton. My God, that to me was why the guy is lauded and honored by a lot of people. That alone, he beat back the Clinton-Obama machine. And the look on her face when she thought she was going to prance in there, take over. We would have had an evil witch over America, literally an evil satanic witch. The worst person that should ever have national power. Trump beat her. And that, to me, was a gift from God. I have never wanted to say Trump was perfect.
No.
He did a lot of good things, something I do not agree with, like Operation Warp Speed. And I mentioned that before. But he beat back Hillary, man. And that, to me, was the icing on the cake. To me, all Trump had to do was go in there and do even a half-assed job, which he did. And he did better than that. Don't get me wrong. Things where he's very good at business. And the people in business responded to him. He told them, get your supply chains in order. Get your hiring in order. Get your widgets made. Get things done. He's very good at that. And the country was humming. But I warned you all, I was right again. I told everybody that Trump will not win re-election. Everyone thought I was crazy. So I'm telling you. How did I know that? I knew that because of demographics changing the country, and two, Democrats cheating. Those two things are what did Trump in mainly. And also, Trump lost a lot of his base last time around. And he always said, I'm going to make it up with black and brown America. Did not happen. Did not materialize. Sure, there were black Americans who loved Trump. Rightly so. He kept talking about the low black unemployment at every rally, right?
Exactly.
But he lost a lot of his white base, suburban base, that initially put him in power. That's what happened to Trump. And he went Hollywood. He went D.C. Beltway. You know, go back to 2016. He had white people at his rallies talking about the disgruntled white American worker, the factory worker, the farmer. Look at every Trump rally back then. Sea of white people. It's the white people that mainly put him in power. The blacks did not save his ass. The Hispanics did not save his ass in the last election. And they were supposed to. And they failed. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, at the past number of rallies that President Trump has did over the past year, we'll say over the past year, for example, you could see that there was 90% white in the crowd of tens of thousands, up to 35,000 people. Okay, every time, not just once in a while. See, I'm a numbers person because, like I said, I'm a retired master electrician. We deal with numbers. Okay, so the numbers don't lie. When you have that many people every single time, every rally. Now, if his numbers at his rally just went to almost zero, I could say, yeah, he's screwed. Okay, he's screwed right there. All right, no doubt about it, because the numbers prove it. But right now, the numbers are rising. Every rally he has, the numbers are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So that proves something right there, logistically saying. So with the numbers rising, put it on a graph, you know, and the graph's going up. It's not going down. It's not just not going, you know, page or edge to edge. It's going up. So there's got to be something with this, okay? Because tens of thousands and thousands of people like that cannot be proven wrong every single time, every rally that he has. So there's something to this, okay? I mean, look at the rallies. The numbers and the crowd proves it, okay? Even though what the media wants to say, you know, they're all crooked and everything, you know that. And we're still 2 years out, a little less than 2 years. You know, old Poopy Pants is not. He may not even make it that far. Okay, so look at the choices we have. You know, look at the choices we have. If you're going to take a pick of all of them, Trump is the best. Okay, at this point, and even then, even with the white people still going to support him. Okay. Because like I said, 90% of all these rallies, you see nothing but white people. Go look at that. It's all on YouTube. You know, yeah, there's blacks and Mexicans and all that stuff in there. Yeah, sure. Okay, no problem. But the majority of them are white people that supports Trump and still supports Trump, even though he's not even president right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that if I were him, if I was advising Trump, I would advise him three things. See, okay, Mr. President, he calls me in. I say, Donald, you got to run again. We're going to change a few things. What do you mean? I'm going to change your image. You need an image change. You need an overhaul. You're a broken record, buddy. I'll be blunt to your face. You need a new schtick, as they say in Hollywood. You need a new narrative. We need a new program. We need a new speech. Stop saying the same things over and over again. You want to be, and don't give a speech like you did when you announced. Kind of low energy. I want high energy speeches. The biggest rallies ever. I want a new narrative, a new thing, man. Don't be talking, don't dish your base. Don't talk about Operation Warp Speed ever again. Don't bring up January 6th ever again. If it comes up, you're going to say, I want to talk about $6 a gallon gas. I want to talk about the border. We're going to finish. I want to talk about unemployment in middle America. I want to talk about getting rid of all immigration for 5 years. Moratorium under my administration.
Yep.
Demographics, man. And I go, we're going to get crushed. By the grace of God, you just might win, but you got to do it a certain way. There is a certain path that Trump could take, but my God, I don't think he's got the fire in the belly. I think he's been weakened by these congressional hearings, lawsuits, federal inquiries. I can tell it's gotten to him. He's sounds and looks a lot slower than he did back in 2016. And we wish him well. I want to see him on the campaign trail. But if he comes out with no changes in his pure ego Trump, he's not going to win. I'll just tell you the truth.
That's true. You got to go down the right path. You've got to be energetic. You know, when you're dealing with pure evil like he was doing with, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah. President Trump has got balls to deal with this pure evil that he's had to deal with in the 4 years. And even now, they're still trying to, you know, mess him up and everything. Okay. You're talking about an evil cartel here. I mean, it goes beyond the imagination. Okay. That's how bad these people are. Boy,
I know.
They suck. Right. But my final thought here is my prayers and thoughts go out to the air show disaster in Dallas the last Saturday.
Yes.
Yeah, it's has a terrible situation to all the families and to the airmen. I was there. Oh my God, man! It
really?
Was pretty bad. Situation.
You saw that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I saw it. It. I mean,
amazing.
It was supposed to be a three.
Terrible
day.
Tragedy.
It was supposed to be. Yeah, it's supposed to be a three-day event, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, the weather didn't cooperate, so most of the
right.
flying was grounded. And Saturday was a great day. And, then, of course, that happened, you know, that afternoon there. And, of course, they canceled Sunday. But, and you believe now, you know what really is coming down, what caused it? You ain't going to believe it. It's so simple.
Tell us.
The guy didn't see that B-17. Spatial awareness.
What?
He lost his spatial awareness for a split second because the airplane that he was flying, that whatever it was there, because
right.
of the design of that airplane, because it had such a long nose, okay, it had
right.
a raised instrument panel, and the engine is sitting right behind the pilot. Because in that long nose, I didn't even know this, there's a 70-millimeter cannon in there. I didn't even know that.
Right.
So because of the design of that aircraft, when he banked and was climbing to try to keep up with those two other fighters that was in front of him, what happened? Blind spot.
Yeah.
Just like his car.
Wow.
Like his car. He didn't see it. And then by the time he seen it, which was just a heartbeat after, there was no way he could pull out. There was no way we could pull.
Oh,
no way.
Terrible. Nope. Terrible tragedy. Gunslinger, thanks for that rendition of the air show, man. Interesting stuff. Wow.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, have a great night, buddy. We'll talk again soon.
Right.
You know it.
Right.
Thanks, sir. Yeah, like Eddie, the Destroyer, says in the chat room tonight, we need a new drug. I would tell Trump, get a new script. Get a new narrative. If you're going to run, run. And, but he's got a big uphill battle, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. Let's get Lincoln from Flyover Country on the show. Hello, Lincoln. How are you doing, man?
What's going on, bro?
Welcome
well.
To the Von Wien Show. How's it going?
It's going. I enjoyed your show tonight, even though I disagreed with the effects of it. I thought your monologue was on fire. I thought your monologue was great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I enjoyed
you, sir.
Your show. You know, I disagree with some of the people out there. I'm a little bit different than probably your average listener, I would say.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that. I like it all. And I agree with you. We agree far more than... I mean, it's almost impossible to get two humans to agree on everything, and that's why we have a talk show, and that's fine. I want to hear your point of view, too. So,
I want to talk to you about, you brought it up earlier, and you said it was low energy. Trump's last speech, his big announcement, you know, I'm not exactly a Trump lover. I've never said opposite. I think Trump is obviously the better option than Hillary Clinton. I thought Trump was the better option than Joe Biden. I've never said any different than that. I'm not a Trump homer that just worships Trump no matter what he does. I am honest.
I feel
Trump.
Like you do. I don't worship the guy either. On my show, we have critiqued him quite extensively. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of people out there that, I mean, like literally on your show, I've heard that the 4 years under Trump were the greatest 4 years in American history. In American history. And that he's the greatest president in this country's history.
Well, things were pretty good. Things were rolling. I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I know what you mean. Things were going pretty good for those four years. Overall, what people are referring to is the economy was doing well.
Well,
yeah.
Guess what? Inflation was going up like crazy under Donald Trump. I can point out a whole lot of things that wasn't great under Donald Trump. Was he better than Hillary Clinton? Yeah. Was he better than Biden? Yeah. Was inflation going up under Trump? Oh, yeah. Did he borrow more money than any president before him? Oh, yeah. Did crime go down under Trump?
Right.
No, it went up under Trump. I can point out a lot of things that wasn't good about Trump. Now, we could say it would have been worse under Hillary, and I would agree. But let's not go down this route of Donald Trump is the greatest thing since, you know, the greatest thing ever, and things were just great under Trump because they weren't.
Right. Oh, I agree. I've never said that everything was perfect under Donald Trump.
Going to Trump route.
To me, again, I'm very clear with everyone. I've critiqued him a lot because I like him. I critique him because I don't always agree with him either. And the thing is, we had to beat Hillary. That was primo in my book. Everyone forgets about Hillary Clinton, 2016.
No,
my
no,
God.
No, you
can you imagine
wrong.
This country under Hillary Clinton? I mean,
you said it
it's
wrong.
Like the Wicked Witch of the Wild West, you know?
You
terrible.
You keep saying it wrong, Vaughn. You keep saying it wrong. It's Hitlery.
Hillary.
Hitler,
yes, Hillary.
Had so many things in common. They had so many policies.
We have to invoke
common.
Hitler again.
So much
Hillary.
can you name one? Can you name one policy or one issue that they would agree on?
No. No, of course not.
Just one.
Hitler would have had Hillary sent to a camp or put on the Russian front to be killed by the Bolsheviks. He would have no patience for that idiot, that witch. She's anti-German, anti-Reich, anti-culture. Oh, he would get rid of her really fast. And I would tell him to. Get that thing out of here.
Hitler would have said, okay, bitch, you want to be a communist? Then go be with a Bolshevik. She would
right.
have been in a work camp with the Jews or should have been like,
I would,
shipped off.
If I was a general in the Third Reich, I would tell him, send that bitch to the Russian front. Get her out of my sight. I'm telling you, I would. She wants to be a Bolshevik? Fine, be a Bolshevik. Get out.
Well,
see,
honestly,
get the hell out.
Honestly, she would have never survived Night of the Long Knives.
That's right. That's right. Damn right. Now,
as
for us saying that, if you're out there in Radio Land, no one's advocating violence against Hitlery. Okay, it's this pure political theater of the mind, our wild imaginations. We're a law-abiding show. I got to put that out there.
No, I'm not advocating any kind of violence.
Oh, I know what you mean. No. I want to say it just for the show. Right. No, I agree with you.
It's a real historical event that happened.
In historical terms, she would not have survived that at all. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not advocating
I'm being
for
a
anything
little facetious
whatsoever.
Tonight.
Completely far from
right.
that. Well, I'm being far. I'm
right.
not advocating for anything. I'm just saying that was a historical event that she probably wouldn't have survived in that time.
I know you're not, and I'm not, but I don't want anyone to think that we're inciting anything because she's still a living, breathing person, kind of unfortunately, but she's still on planet Earth. But there's a satanic agenda, you know?
I think, in my opinion, she should go hang out with her buddy Ruth Ginsburg.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well,
but anyway, whole other topic, man. Whole other topic. What
yeah,
you,
go for
you,
it.
I know you said the speech was low energy. You know, I had okay. The speech was low energy, and you might not be familiar with some of these people like John Miller, Nick Fuentes. I know you're familiar with like Andrew Torba.
Oh yeah,
Stab.
I know him.
I mean,
I don't know them personally,
like
but I've seen them for years. Right.
These people are hardcore Trump supporters. I mean, they're like MAGA, America First, hardcore Trump supporters. And even those guys, you know, Andrew Torba put on Telegram, epic fail. John Miller posted on Telegram, like, my God, I might as well vote for a fucking Democrat at this point. You know, even like Nick Fuentes and these guys were like, wow, this fucking sucks. This is garbage. I mean, I thought the speech was absolutely awful.
It was bad. I'm being kind when I say low energy. I'm being very kind. It sucked.
You know? Do you know who Devin Sack is?
I've heard of him before.
He has a really big following. He has an Odyssey channel. He's an author. He's written books. He has a really large following. He does a show called Black Pilled. He has a really large following.
Yeah, I've seen him before. Yeah.
He did commentary during the speech, and Like, as soon as the speech started and Trump started talking, immediately posted a video on Telegram where he's like, oh, my God, it's this bad. Within the first minute, the first thing he said was black unemployment. Like, he's going down the exact same path. The first thing he goes to is black unemployment, and the second thing he goes to is warp operation, warp how he handled the virus. Like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He committed suicide with this shit in 2020, and now he's repeating himself over again?
That's what I mean. He's a broken record. I like Trump. Don't get me wrong, but I thought he was going to come out with a his ego gets the best of him. He thinks people like this crap. They don't. I mean, I don't know who he's listening to, but if you're listening for the Mar-a-Lago tonight, change the script, boys. My God. It's like watching the same movie over and over, and it's getting annoying. And it's pissing me off. It's pissing off the American people. And you're right. I mean, that's what I felt like. And I was like, this is not good. Same script, different time. And Trump is, look, one of the hallmarks of a leader, whether you know it or not, is being flexible, being able to maneuver around your opponents quickly. Stealthily, lethally, if you have to. Trump is showing me he cannot maneuver. He cannot mobilize. He's not flexible. He's inflexible, intransient. He's stuck in the mud. His mind is stuck in 2016. That's the problem. You got to change gears in life. Change gears in your mind. Get a new script. Get a new speech.
Did you see or hear one of his speechwriters for that speech? Did you see or hear, like, the speechwriters he had for that speech? Did you see or hear that the person who wrote most, not all, he had different speechwriters, but the one who wrote his opening salvo, I guess you would call it, was fucking Richard Grenell, of all people. Richard Grenell from the Log Cabin Faggot Republicans wrote his opening salvo of his speech, like, why the fuck are you taking advice from Richard Grenell, that faggot you put in power?
Trump has been given this. I don't know who got to him, but he is crazy. I've told him. I'll tell it to his face if I ever see him. I'm not afraid of the guy. Say, Mr. President, you've taken too much wrong advice. You have aligned yourself with the gay Republicans, black and brown America, who did not save your ass in 2020. Okay. At the expense of alienating your core base. It's simple math, bad arithmetic. Groups that you like to bring up, he brings them up because he's afraid of being called the racist card by the media, to be blunt, in my book. He's saying these things to try to curry favor with national media. I will tell Trump, no matter what you do, they're going to hate your guts. They're not going to like you. So why do you try? I don't get that part.
Well, it's really a failure on his part. Really, it is. I mean, I think Trump's a smart guy. I really do. I've never questioned that. I think he's a smart guy. He's got to see that his 2016 formula was good. However, once he got in office, he didn't follow through with damn near anything that he ran on in 2016, honestly. It's going to be honest, but he didn't build a fucking wall. I mean, he built some shitty 200 miles that people just go climb over and walk around.
Right.
That was
true.
That was the cornerstone of his campaign, was build the wall, and he didn't build the wall. He never had money to build the wall, but he has money to send to Israel and Gambia and Nigeria and fucking El Salvador and every country in the world, but don't have money to build the wall.
I know.
I think Trump is a good guy. I think he's sincere. I think Trump is at his best when he goes completely off script, when he just says, fuck this speech, and talks from the hip. That's when Trump is at his
best. That's what I'm saying. I would tell him, don't ever utter words by somebody else. They don't sound good. Trump's the kind of a guy that needs to go off script all the freaking time. He needs to get back to his base.
He's lively. He's entertaining. He's controversial. He's funny.
That's what we like.
I mean, I'm so fucking sick of him putting his hand over his forehead and like, oh, look at all the media out there. Oh, look at all the lying media. Like, yeah, that was funny in 2017. 2018, it was kind of funny. Now it's just dumb. We've all heard every speech. Hell, even my ex-girlfriend in, like, 2019, I turned on a Trump speech, and she would say, why are we watching this? It's the exact same thing we heard 2 years ago. They're all the same. Yeah, you're kind of right.
That's right. That's what I'm saying when I say he needs a new script, a new shtick, a new narrative, a new, you know, just talk to the American people. Like me, I'm just talking. I've got no script in front of me. You and I are talking about this, and you don't need a script written by a gay guy or a Muslim guy or an illegal immigrant or wherever you're getting this crap from. It sounds contrived. It sounds like you're trying to please too many people, too many groups. You're not being Trump. I want Trump to be Trump. That's what I would tell him. Fire all your speechwriters. Yes, fire them all. I would put them on the campaign trail. I say, you're going to go in there? You're going to go in the boxing match? Just don't talk about these four or five things because they're just going to kill you. Rocky, they're going to kill you, baby. Stick to the target and be 2016 Trump. Nobody likes 2020 Trump or 2022 Trump.
No.
It's not attractive.
No.
It's not attractive.
Even his hardcore, like his hardcore, your Nick Fuentes, your Lauren Witzkies, your John Miller, your Andrew Torbas, your most staunch, hardcore Trump backers are just like, yeah, this kind of fucking sucks. I mean, even John Miller, who has a huge following, in the first 5 minutes of that speech, he's like, holy shit, I might as well just vote for a fucking Democrat.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's not doing himself any favors. And Trump is a smart guy. He needs to fire whoever the hell he's with, whoever is telling him to let the log cabin.
That's what I'm saying. Sack and defeat them. Fire their ass. Yes. The first thing I would do is they have a scorched earth policy. We're going to get rid of your so-called political staff. It's going to be me,
and his whipping
Lincoln,
got taken away.
The gladiator, Irish pirate, and the gunslinger. We are your new staff. You know, we do a hell of a lot better job than what he's got now. What he has now sucks.
Well, that's because
he's not going to win.
That's because people like us are around normal people. We're around normal people. We talk to truck
right.
drivers. We talk to farmers. We talk to waitresses
right.
in a restaurant. We talk to normal people. Donald Trump doesn't talk to normal. Donald Trump hasn't driven a fucking car in 40 years. Donald Trump isn't a normal person. He doesn't surround himself with normal people. He doesn't know what people at Ma and Pa grocery store or, you know, catfish restaurant on the corner. He doesn't know what they care about, what's important to them. That's why he hires advisors. They're supposed to know what is going to sell to these people. And guess what? Bob and Mary, the 45-year-old couple with three kids at some catfish diner in the middle of Missouri, they don't give a shit about record low black unemployment. They just could fucking care
That's
less
right.
about that. They didn't get back, and they didn't get the vaccine either.
I agree. Nobody cares about low black unemployment. Nobody cares about low Hispanic unemployment.
Blacks care about low black unemployment. Blacks don't care.
Let blacks care about low black unemployment. But nobody cares about that in Middle America. I'd be blunt. They don't care.
Not even blacks.
And
care
Trump
about
thinks
it.
It's the greatest talking point ever. You never talk about the out-of-work whites out from that factory. Oh, can't bring that up. Mr. President, that would be racist. That's where we are in America. So Trump needs a new script, man. It ain't working for him. And I wish him well. I don't think he's going to hear my show. I don't think he's going to change one thing. And look, if you're a Republican challenger tonight, if I was working for Trump's challenger, I'll be honest with you. I would tell them, we can beat Trump. We can beat this guy, and we can win the nomination. We can do it. He's using the same old crap. And we can just run circles around this guy.
You don't think
that's
that,
what I would say.
You don't think that Ron DeSantis was watching that speech and licking his chops? Like, whoa.
Damn right he was.
Kill this.
We can kill this guy. We can win. We can tar and feather him, make him look like a coup leader, make him look like a broken record, an old fossil. Oh, it'd be easy. Easy to do. Not easy, but I mean, it's a lot easier now. After his speech, all this hoopla about his big speech. It's all right for 3 weeks. Trump's big announcement, big P.T. Barnum of politics, Donald Trump, circus leader, right? Big top, big announcement.
Big top.
Hollywood lights are flashing all around the world. YouTube live. Then he walks out slow. Starts saying things that I'm going, what? Como, senor? What are you talking about? Where's the fire in the belly? Where's the Trump that I used to love, man? This is it? This is the big announcement? This?
Tell me, Vaughn. I gotta ask you, Vaughn. Did you not roll your eyes when 30 seconds into the speech, she goes into black unemployment? Did you roll your eyes?
I rolled my eyes and I yelled at my computer. I said, you dumb fuck. How can you do that again? That's what I said, if you really want to know. You just screwed the pooch. You just did it again. Operation Warp Speed. Half the country hates it.
That was second you talked about.
Great talking point, Donnie boy. Great talking point. Part of my French America,
like,
but
how to piss off your base.
I have strong opinions.
It's like how it's 101.
This is politics 101, man. Basic stuff.
How to lose your base 101.
Yeah. How to lose your base 101. How to lose your base. And look, there's a lot of room in the Republican Party for challengers. I think after seeing that, they're going, he may have billions, he may have a big name, but I can take him on. Now, I like Trump.
Let me ask you a question.
I wish him well, but we'll see what happens.
Missouri boys earlier. You brought up one of my fellow Missouri guys earlier. Let me ask you a question. In a primary for 2024, a primary, would you pick Josh Hawley or Donald Trump? I would pick Josh Hawley.
Josh Hawley in a heartbeat. No, I'm a Josh Hawley guy. I am a Josh Hawley guy. I used to be a big Trump guy. And again, I want Trump to do better. Don't get me wrong. I critique him because I like him. I'm hoping somebody out there will listen to this show. Or at least it'll get out there. I want Trump to do better. But right now, yeah, I'd go for Josh Hawley over either him or DeSantis, because we need some new blood. I don't see Josh Hawley or DeSantis talking about Operation Warp Speed or low black unemployment on every campaign trail, bringing up the past. Let's talk about the future. Let's build something better, stronger. That's what we need.
You know, Hawley made a really good point. It's controversial. When Hawley went on Twitter and talked about this is the death of the Republican Party and it needs to be completely rebuilt, remade, you know, he made a very good point.
I agree
point
with him.
And I think, even like your boomer conservatives, like 3/4 of your audience. Like, people at work were talking about that. Like, you know, it kind of makes sense. He's kind of right, you know. Like, they were a big fan of that. They're like, we do need a different party. I mean, this, I mean, even, like, my boomer conservative that love Trump, wear MAGA hats to the grocery store. They were like, you know, I agree with him. You know, he's kind of right.
He is right. And, look, I wish Josh Hawley would be a great candidate for president. And he's going to run eventually. But I think he's going to sit this one out. But, again, Trump is, look, he's got to get the message right. If you don't get the messaging right, I don't care how great you think you are, you're not going to win. Trump will get about 45% of the vote. Biden will get even more votes than the last time, even with the cheating or without the cheating. I mean, hate to say it, but
that's the last thing I really want to talk about. I've been on for a while now. There's only one other thing I really wanted to talk to you about, which is you know, and this is going to be controversial because I know all the conservatives, Republicans love to talk about voter fraud. I think that Republicans actually enjoy to a degree. I don't think they'll ever fix voter fraud because it gives them the ultimate scapegoat. As soon as you're saying, you know what, we ran a shitty campaign, we put up shitty candidates, and we had a shitty message, and we just absolutely suck, instead of saying that, they just get to say, well, fucking voter fraud, they stole it. Instead of saying,
right,
well, our message was terrible, our message didn't resonate with blue-collar white folks. Instead of saying that, you know, because what is voter turnout? Your midterms are what, 30 to 35% voter turnout? Your presidential elections are like 50 to 55% voter
right.
turnout, which means there's literally tens of millions of white people that could go vote that just looks at the two candidates and says, ah, fuck it, neither one cares about me, so they don't even bother to vote. I mean, like, half the country don't even bother to vote because they feel like no one gives a shit from either party. And they're right when they think that way. They're correct that neither party does give a shit about them. So I don't blame them for saying, ah, fuck it. I mean, you have the most unpopular president in my lifetime, and I'm in my 40s. You have the most unpopular president. You have this someone that no one likes, and still tens of million people were like, I could go vote for the other party, but fuck it, they don't care about me either. So tens of millions of people just sit at home and don't vote because they feel like no one gives a shit. Well, instead of talking about black unemployment, why don't you do something to appeal to the tens of millions of white folks who just sit at home and don't vote because they feel like no one cares about them?
That's right.
Instead of just blaming voters.
There's this weird thing in Republican circles.
Some 75 IQ African.
Right.
Instead of running him in a
right.
state
Republican.
Like Georgia of all places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're doing Herschel Walker in the state of Georgia of all places. You know, it's yeah.
Right.
And then you're gonna lose because whites aren't gonna go vote for this 75 IQ African. And then you're going to say, well, they stole the election. No, actually, they just don't want to go out and vote for this freaking half-retarded football player who took too much brain damage in his life. He can't even spell Georgia, and we're going to vote for this guy?
Right. There's this – look, these Republican strategists have this funny idea that because you're of white European descent and because you're in the suburbs, you're going to automatically – you're programmed to vote red. And you're always going to vote red no matter what. That is a fallacy. It is not reality. Like you said, a lot of white Europeans, in my view, of descent of the Trump base are gone. They're gone. They're no longer there. They've left the party. They have not voted. A lot of them did not vote for him last time. The minority that Trump courted did not bail him out, as I predicted. Bad math on Trump's part. And that's where we're at as a nation. It's the truth.
We've done that math together on air before. You and I have sat together on air before and done that math. When you openly brag because you got 2% more of 12%, which is blacks. Blacks make up 12% of the country. And you go nuts and throw parties because you increased that turnout, that voter block by 2%. But then you lost 5% of the 65% of the country, which is the white voters. That is severely negative math. And Republicans celebrate it like
it is negative math.
That's retarded.
And you're not going to win with that kind of math. You're not going to win. It's proven. Trump is the poster boy for proving that analysis. And again, I bring up the midterms that all the people he backed with the demographics that he did not fix. Okay, now yes, he was distracted. Yes, there was Russia collusion, two impeachments or three, et cetera, et cetera. But my point is the demographics have killed us. And the whites don't always vote. Day to day, don't always come out. You got to court them too. So these Republican guys on TV, I caution everyone, they're in the Beltway from Washington to New York. They do not know what they're talking about. They are failures. They have failed again, failed America, and we need a new party. Lincoln, thanks so much, man. We'll talk again soon, buddy. You know it.
Hey, come on. Hey, come on the come on the Telegram chat again sometime, man. We miss having you in there.
I did, man. I came by twice in the last week or so. I didn't see anybody, but Stefano was posting. There was no chat, but I was there. You'll see me with the thumbs up on many of the postings. I was there, but I will definitely come back. Yeah, I'll definitely come back, man. For sure. Oh, I can't wait. We'll do it again soon.
Have a good night, brother. Have a good
night,
brother.
You got it, Lincoln.
Hail victory.
Thanks, man. Hail victory. Damn right. Well, folks, it's been a long show. I'm going to get my tech wizard in here. We are up against the clock. I'm going to get him in earlier next show. But we have a few minutes here for the Irish Pirate, if he's still there.
Oh, he's still there, and I'm willing to do a fast one.
Good,
I'm
buddy.
Ready to
How are you doing?
Fast one. I'm getting there. It's been a bit of a rough week. I have a tournament that was supposed to be held this weekend, and I think the district double booked the event, and because they didn't start the tournaments this year until later, I think they got ousted. So they saved it by bringing it to their corporate office, but that cut the attendance in half, and 83% of my students that were going to sign up didn't get a chance. So that's kind of annoying, but it also means I've got one going, and her section I think is going to be doubled in trophies versus the ones that actually signed up. So I'm ready to be there just to see that happen. So yeah, I'm
cool.
So
now that's about your school life, but let's talk about. Let's talk about the Trump announcement. Let's get topical with the show.
Well,
what's your take on the Trump speech?
Wait a minute. I got a yawn over that one. You mean, he said he was going to run. That's all I heard. That's a nice beginning, but it doesn't prove anything. It doesn't make anything change.
Right.
I mean, it was kind of – if he didn't run, it would be more a bigger news, actually. So
I agree. I agree.
It's kind of like some of the people that are in Trump's previous cabinet. They'd have to literally look at him and say, "You woke me up for this, please." But I do agree with you. I should be on the cabinet next when he actually makes it. I mean, the Von Wehhunt, Irish Pirate and Gunslinger cabinet board of advisors would be really good for anybody, really, not just Trump, but that would get things done. It'd be a little overloaded
Absolutely.
On the analysis part, but hey, that's not a problem. Let's see. There's some other things on there that are a little strange. I like the Owen Schroyer idea of how Republicans can win in 2024, regardless of who it is. He said that every rally should be a party. And that, for example, you bring in like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders or something. And get things going, and get the DJs coming, and get the all kinds of music in the rally, and that. In other words, let's go back to the America that used to party and show everybody
That's right.
that we're sick and tired of the gloom and doom and the death. And I am in the process of trying to make, because my daughter asked me for some songs of a band that you would not know, or at least certainly not have any interest in. And they're really loud and radical. And I thought, I want to do that, but I want to do that with a twist. I'm going to take some of the stuff that's been happening lately in the news, like Matt Baker coming out here and addressing Maricopa County, dressing them down, by the way, screaming at them at the top of his lungs, which I absolutely adored. And then going back that
right.
day because, you know, yeah, he went to bed at 10, woke up, I think, at 2, started filling out paperwork, approached the place like at 5 in the morning and then had to wait a few hours for some people to show up and that type of thing, and then they got it going. And then he unloaded for a minute and then went to work, working, you know, building somebody's new floor in their house, which, you know, the comment there is, well, must be a Trump supporter. He's using his hands, right? He's using his own skills.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I haven't seen anything that's going to change what's happening. And certainly when we last talked about the election, we knew that exactly what they were going to do. The big trick they did is this time they stole it up front instead of waiting until after the polls closed. And I'm not sure if
right.
you're aware, but in Arizona, all the places that they knew they were going to have to steal it, they had those very special ballots with 1 inch extra on the header side,
yeah,
where they would go into, yeah, and then they, when those failed, they just, you know, popped them into door number 3. Nobody knows. Everybody will, how do I say, the cheaters will know which district they came from and know which ones to deal with. And so it's going to be a really
right.
easy fix for them because they know where they sent the ballots. Now, unfortunately, yeah, there's supposed to be, how do I say this? Normally you call somebody and you say, bring out more ballots, and those all have to come from the same place. And that didn't happen this time for whatever
right.
reason. Yeah. And so, yeah, the Katie Hobbs thing is really annoying. It never occurred to me that, that even the governor had something to say about that. I mean, yeah, I mean,
never did.
DeSantis.
I haven't heard a
DeSantis
word out of Ducey about that.
I was going to say, yeah, DeSantis dropped a couple of people because they weren't following the rules of their own state. And I don't know if there's a rule or not. I mean, seriously, I mean, if someone doesn't recuse themselves, isn't there some sort of a civil procedure that's being violated? And I mean, it blows my mind.
Well, that's my whole point.
The first time.
There's shit. Yes, it's a conflict of interest. It's in the law books. No one's invoking that law. And the governor's not invoking law.
Nobody today, nobody anywhere stepped up and said, by the way, here's the law. Nobody anywhere. None of the news. Nobody. I mean, you want to blame Ducey, fine. But somebody should have come out and said, here's the law. Somebody freaking enforce it. And I honestly
right.
don't know what the law is, but I figured somebody could tell me, because that's what I do. I'm not the guy that's going to go up and slap the clinks on Ducey for not doing it, because that's certainly a misprision of treason.
He should have at least spoke up, and he didn't. He's been quiet like a church mouse.
That would give me the chance to talk to the right people and say, you know, this law exists in the book and you can do something about it right now. Why don't you just go do that? Because I would be more than willing to show them why that's necessary. And so, unfortunately, yeah, I can't go around reading all the law books. But I know people that...
Well, they have conflict of interest laws in Arizona and all across the nation. And you would think they would appoint somebody to watch the election while she's running for governor, which would have been the appropriate thing to do. Appoint an overseer just for the election, not her job, but for the election.
Well, and you should ask Carrie Lake who that should be, quite frankly. I mean,
I've already emailed, and she has brought that up. I emailed her about that a long time ago. I'm glad to see her. She's talked about that on TV media, which is great. Now, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I've invited her on my show, and she gets thousands of media inquiries. But we're still working on getting her on this show, which would be great.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to do anything because similar to the titles of nobility amendment that would have been number 13 at the time, when people just didn't want it on the books that were already on the other side. already getting the $29 million for AOC and whatnot. It's very, very hard. I've dealt with that with a clearance. You get something happening on the other side of a fence, and then they kick you out and put you on this side of the fence, in this case by cheating, right? There's a cabal that's handling all that. And now they're trying to perfect the industry, which they almost have. I mean, they're learning from their mistakes, right? They didn't stop Trump the first time, caught doing a whole bunch of stuff. But even Mike Lindell has proven that some of the IP addresses of the stuff that was coming in and doing the hacking and doing the cheating, they use the same IP addresses. I mean, this is really hilarious. Imagine somebody coming to a bank in a car, and you get the make and the car and the license plate and everything. Same car comes to the same bank the next year. And everybody was I'm surprised. I mean,
hey, do you have some fun facts coming to us?
Absolutely.
Irish, any fun facts coming to us, man?
Absolutely. I got three songs in the mill, and like I said, I want to make a special one for my daughter. If I do that,
we don't need a lot of new songs. What I want are some of the audio from the clips I sent you.
Okay, I have one of those already done.
Yeah, we want some of those sent back to the show. We don't need I love your song selections, but yeah, put in one or two of those. But put in some things that I've already sent you. That's what we need done.
Okay. We could do that.
When you get time. Yeah, because I'm not. Yeah, so when I send you those things, try to, when you get time. But we're looking forward to them, man. And got to run. We're up against the clock. You're about to end the show. Irish, thanks so much, buddy. We will talk again next week. You know it.
Hang in there. It's going to be a wild ride. That's for sure. Between now and the end
Thank
of
you,
the
Irish
year,
Pirate.
Man, anything goes now. All right.
Thanks, man. Have a great night. Folks, you were listening to the Von Wien Show. The radio show is about to end here. I thank you all for being here. We will talk again next week about the election. The race is on for president. Trump has announced. We will talk about it more each week as we go down this path. Thanks a lot. Good night and God bless from my Arizona stronghold. Good night, folks. In America, the Von Wien Show is over tonight. Good night.